Well, Chuck, after much persuasion, I finally convinced you to do the Book of Romans. I know it was quite a task to take such a challenging book.
Oh, no, not at all. It's a wonderful book. We had gone through it before, rather formally, some years ago at Calvary Chapel. But again, that was fairly early in my teaching career, and it was delightful to be encouraged to jump into it again in a little more depth, which we did, I think. I think we did go into it.
Definitely.
We tried to hit it more thoroughly. And it's interesting. I can remember when I was in growing in my teaching experience at Calvary that I always used to check with Chuck Smith as to what book I should teach next. And he, I remember one time he said, you know, I think you're ready to teach the Book of Romans. So that's what we did. We did it back then. But I smiled because my perspective today is so much more broad and also, I think, with more depth. No, Romans is the definitive book in the Bible. It is some people call it Paul, you know, the Gospel according to Paul. But it is the definitive statement of Christian doctrine, and it underlies almost everything else as either prelude or, you know, tangential to it. It really, really deals with the predicament of God, the predicament that He has in trying to save a fallen race, fallen man. And Paul starts there, lays the foundation in chapter 1 and then just builds the whole definitive theological background of what sin really means and salvation and so forth. It's just – and yet it builds up. The first 8 chapters, of course, to me are the core of the book. You get through the whole definition and understanding of sin and salvation and all of that. But then it just climaxes in what has to be the most breathless tour de force in the Scripture. As you build up in Romans chapter 8, you start out with, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And then he builds up to the most incredible expression of our security in Christ. And boy, any time that you're kind of down, any time you kind of it's overwhelming, all you have to do is keep a tab on Romans 8:28 and read from there to the end of that chapter, from 8 to through about 36, I guess. And boy, you just can't be down. After reading that, it is just it's just magnificent. So that's always fun to really get into the 7 questions that he asks, which in effect just undergird our security in Christ. But then I guess the other reason the book's so precious to me too is there are 3 chapters right in the middle, 9, 10, and 11. And it's amazing to me how most of the denominational churches fail to embrace the meaning of those 3 chapters, because so many Christians are taught through denominational traditions that God is finished with Israel, that somehow she forfeited her promises when she rejected her Messiah. Now that's, they've all devolved on the church, and that all leads to confusion because the promises to Israel were unconditional, and church's promises are distinct and quite separate and very exciting. But the real point is that out of those misunderstandings have come the Holocaust, has come anti-Semitism, and strangely, it's going to happen again. And so what's interesting, Paul hammers away for 3 chapters that God is not through with Israel. They have a destiny, a future. In fact, it takes its place in the book because he's raised this whole issue that God keeps his promises. Well, he made all these promises to Israel. How can, with them rejecting Christ, how can they fulfill it? Well, he deals with that head on. 9, 10, 11, chapter 9 deals with history, with Israel in the past. Chapter 10, Israel today, and then chapter 11, Israel in the future. And boy, you talk about a pre-trib rapture thing. If you really understand the significance of verse 25 in Romans 11, it's exciting. And it puts everything else into perspective because that closes what Jesus announced in Luke 19 when they rejected him, when they didn't recognize the 69th week of Daniel finishing. Jesus said, now these things are hidden from your eyes. How long? Forever? No. Paul tells until, well, in effect, Romans 11:25. So that's breath. Those 3 chapters are pivotal in getting our perspective of the church in Israel. And that's critical, not just because of the anti-Semitism issues and all that. That's critical to really understand God's prophetic scenario for the end times.
And there's a warning in there to us as well where he's talking about the natural vine being cut off and the unnatural vine, which is us, the Gentiles, being grafted in.
Yes.
And how dare you be arrogant when if the natural vine was cut off,
and
can it be grafted back in again?
And how tragic it is that the many branches of Christianity, if I can express it that way, have been arrogant and are just heading for offense to him. But then, of course, the remainder of the chapter, 12 through 16, is just good, practical counsel as to what to do about all this. Mm-hmm. So it's an incredible book. It's a balanced book. It's a full book. But it is a book for the serious. If you're really serious about God, you're really serious about your Bible, you really, you know, really want to embrace Romans. Not that we have in any complete sense. We've gone verse by verse, but at the same time, it's a lifetime study.
Mm-hmm.
And really getting familiar with the book, embracing the book, and revisiting it is a constant.
There's so many different levels. I mean, I think what happens a lot of times with Romans is people start focusing on the tree and they forget the forest. There's a very core thing that Paul is taking through, and he takes everybody to the same level with Romans 1 and 2. He's tearing everybody down, like you're all sinful,
yes,
you're
exactly.
all depraved,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to put us all on the same level. And then he's going to, yes. once he's torn us down and he's gotten rid of our false pretenses, then he's going to continue to build and build and build.
Yep. Yep.
And I think people sometimes get caught up in the, mm-hmm. the smaller doctrinal issues within the book without understanding mm-hmm. and appreciating the overall start-to-finish goal and road that Paul's bringing forward.
Very valid, because he takes the three basic sections. He takes pagan man, he takes religious, moral man and religious man, and shows that all three are lost, and then builds from there, and then we're only saved in Christ. And,
mm-hmm.
and he does it so thoroughly, so systematically. I think there's a little question that he was the most profound intellect of all those that were chosen to pen elements of God's Word. I say it that way because surely it's the Holy Spirit that's speaking. But Paul had the benefit of this deep classical Greek education, as well as being a Pharisee of Pharisees taught by Gamaliel himself. So he has a grasp of both the Hebrew and the Greek cultures in a way that I don't think any other writer, old or new, had mm-hmm. Embraced. So it's an exciting book for the really thinking Christian. This is the book. This is the challenge. And it's a fruitful book. It's a lifetime commitment.